to 1 Peter. None of us are quite certain what Peter looked like, but back on that opening slide, we have shots, you know, Kodak moments, right? Of him as a fisherman and him when he became a statue. Anyway, what did Peter look like is not as important as what did Peter teach us. And what did the Lord do in his heart and in his life? And how do we respond to the word of God that he brought? You take a look around you at today's chaos. And how many know we're in a chaotic world, church? You look around you at the chaos and you realize that we're living in a similar time to Peter's day. Now, the book of 1 Peter was most likely written at the end of his life when he was writing from Rome. We don't have a record of him actually going personally, and we'll see a map in a little while, to the regions that are addressed in this letter. And this is most likely what was called a circular or an encyclical letter that goes around a certain region of Asia Minor, which is now Turkey mostly. But Peter brings a word to encourage people who are living in the midst of chaotic times, confusion, even persecution. And some of that persecution was so extreme that the people of God got discouraged. Come on, show of hands. How many ever get discouraged? All right, so we're talking about Peter saying some things that help us this morning. And I have a few simple points as we embark on a series called A Living Hope. A Living Hope. Many in the ancient world regarded Christians as strange. Anybody ever think you're strange? Hopefully it's not the person sitting next to you. Regarded Christians as strange, as superstitious, they were considered disloyal to the Roman government. Some of us have some trouble with our own government, don't we? And of course we do. And so that's why the Lord tells us to pray and keep on praying and seek the Lord on behalf of those leaders. But Christians gathered in secret. They practiced in their minds, and some of these people's minds who were looking on, they practiced secret rituals. And what they were really talking about was what we just celebrated, the Lord's Supper. And they considered that it was widely misunderstood as a bloody sacrifice. Remember Jesus said, here's my body, here's my blood. And many left him from that time because they couldn't understand what he meant. People looked at the Christians and they thought they're living a countercultural lifestyle. I should hope to shout, amen? Yeah. Countercultural, going the other way. Not the way the world wants to go. They oftentimes in that day refused to serve in the Roman army because they would not swear an oath to the emperor, which was required allegiance in that day. Because of their refusal to go along with the prevailing culture, the Christians were discriminated against and accused of misbehavior. They were brought into court on trumped up charges. Their families would reject them. It was a very difficult time. So Peter addresses three issues. Addressing three issues. Believers were undergoing very difficult trials and other groups were saying evil things about them. We've just spoken a bit about that. Number two, the followers of Christ were tempted to retaliate and kind of repay harsh words with harsh words. I want you to stop for just a moment. I don't want you to be religious with me, and I won't be with you. Sometimes, if I just say it for me, I have been tempted to be this way. Have you? Thank God. Bail me out here, gang. Sometimes we want to respond in like kind. Somebody's in your face, and you want to stand them right down. Come on. Get out of my face, back up 10 steps, or you're going to be in trouble in the love of Jesus, of course. Let me give you my welcome to church brochure. They were tempted then to compromise their godly lifestyle because of the grief that it caused them. It does cause grief. The sense of rejection sometimes is grief-striking. His letter in 1 Peter, encourages believers to view the accusations and the unfair treatment as an opportunity to bring forth a witness to Jesus Christ. Because how you respond, how many know the world is watching? Come on, say it with me. The world is watching. They're watching you. How do you respond? What makes you think you're so good? I just think I'm redeemed. That's what that's all about. I know I'm redeemed by the grace and the blood of Jesus. Are you better than me? Well, yes, because I'm forgiven and you can come into that group too. But am I better than you as a person? The ground's level at the foot of the cross. We all need Jesus. Every one of us needs Jesus. By following Jesus' example, who lived a life where he didn't revile back again, where he allowed them to take some strikes at him. By following his life and his example, Christians can practice a witness of true evangelism. But it ain't always easy. Let's not kid ourselves. Three keys to the meaning of 1 Peter's message. Three keys. Maintain a life of holiness in the midst of the pressures created by the non-Christian and often anti-Christian atmosphere in which you live. Maintain that life of holiness right in the midst of it. Lord, that's hard. Help us, Jesus. Can you say it with me? Help me, Jesus. Number two, Christians who are God's people need to pursue a lifestyle that embodies the values of heaven, not the values of the world. Guys, I can't say this enough. We are not drinking from the same value system of the world. You're swimming upstream in a downstream world. Let's face the reality. You know, I know I'm diving ahead a little bit, but the reality is you don't subscribe to a set of principles and values that the world wants to put on you. The world says church doesn't matter. We'll do our sports on Sunday morning. The world says your family doesn't matter. Divorce at the drop of a hat. The world says you can create adulterous affairs and it doesn't matter. You can go any gender you want. It doesn't matter. The world says we don't need to hold the biblical morality. You don't need to have integrity and honesty. You can curse. You can swear. You can go run around and drink the keg and do everything you want to do because, oh, it's the way of the world. But I'm sorry. I'm called by Jesus, not by the world. Amen. He redeemed me from it. He can help you as well. He can help you find a satisfying life in Christ, knowing you're forgiven, you're at peace, you don't have this gunk on your back anymore. How many love being forgiven? Come on, I love being forgiven. I just love it. I'm so grateful to be washed clean by the blood of Jesus. And when I get up every morning, His mercies are new every day. Hallelujah. I don't have to go to bed at night heavy and downcast because of some awful thing if I brought it under the blood of Jesus. I don't have to wake up the next morning saying what I did last Tuesday, last year, last month, 10 years ago. It's not on your back anymore because it's gone by the grace of God. Wow. You're not going to find that kind of forgiveness anywhere else. It's not in how many laps you run. It's not in all the works you can do. It's by the blood of Jesus and the grace of God. When he raised those arms wide, impaled on a cross, and he said, Father, forgive them. So when he died, was buried, and rose again. And he gives hope, a living hope. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Number three, believers have become a holy people because of Christ. Follow in his footsteps, refuse to retaliate, use trials to testify about the grace and power of God. And some of you, sometimes the trials are so strong, you could look at me if I quoted this to you and say, what are you smoking? The Word of God. The peace of Jesus. I know I can't take the pain away, but Jesus can help you walk through that painful time, just like he has with me. Jesus will never abandon you. Sometimes you wonder if he's there. But the Bible says, in fact, he even told us this morning, he's right here. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. We're strangers and pilgrims in this life. That's what the Bible says. 1 Peter 1 verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the pilgrims of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Now, that's from the New King James. Let me read the phrase to you from the New American Standard. To those who reside as aliens. Any aliens in a place? Okay, don't go on there. Who are chosen? To God's elect. Strangers in the world. God's chosen people out of the New Living who are living as foreigners. The Message says, exiles scattered to the four winds. The King James uses the word strangers, and it literally means people who are scattered throughout. It means alien alongside, a resident foreigner. It means pilgrim. It means alien, strangers, exiles. All of those words are correct interpretations of this word. And the word, again, strangers, peripatetos, it emphasizes both foreign nationality and temporary residence. Did you hear me? Foreign nationality and temporary residence. Church, the old song says, I'm just passing through. We're just passing through. So what are you living for? Only today? Or do you know where you're going when you die? If you do not know, today is the day you need to know where you're going when you die. Because Jesus has a whole eternity for you to live with Him. And if you haven't given your life to Jesus, this is your day to do so. So you can know. Christians, whose citizenship is in heaven, live in the midst of a pagan society as aliens and as sojourners. They're displaced persons. And in fact, the Greek word for scattered is diasporos. Diasporos. And it means, and it had special meaning to the Jewish Christians who were scattered from Jerusalem, if you recall. They were scattered from Israel all around the known world. And Peter then adopts that word to refer to Christians in this world. You are scattered. You're not yet at your homeland, but you are living here as strangers and pilgrims in this place. You don't belong here. Don't just drink from the world. Live in the world, but don't be of the world. You're part of a heavenly country. And that heaven is going to be where we'll spend eternity. Amen? Who are we? How are we identified as believers? Strangers and pilgrims in this life. Now, please tangibly turn in your Bible to Hebrews, if you would. Hebrews chapter 11. The book of Hebrews chapter 11. If you'll turn there, I'm going to read a set of scriptures, and I'm only going to put two of those scriptures up here, but there's about six scriptures I'd like you to see. Hebrews chapter 11, as we're looking into the Word of God. Hebrews chapter 11, and I'll begin in verses 8 through 10, and also read verses 13 through 16. 8 through 10, and 13 through 16. Are you there? By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out of the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country. Where? As in a foreign country. Dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Verse 10 tells us, for he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is? God. Come on, real loud, church. Who is? God. Amen. So God's building a different place, a different country, a different place where we will spend eternity, a heavenly place. He's the builder. He's the maker. I want to live in that kind of city, don't you? That kind of city, the buildings don't come down with the hurricane. They don't come down with the flood. They don't burn down when the salmon goes cooking too long. That kind of place lasts for eternity. Thank God He's created a place for you and me. Someone say amen. Amen. Verse 13. These all died in faith. These all meaning the Hebrews 11 heroes of the faith. Hebrews 11 outlines a bunch of people who've gone on before us in faith. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were, say the word please, assured of them, embraced them, and confessed, please say it with me, that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Who are you? I'm a stranger pilgrim. Little joke, very little. for those who say such things, declare plainly that they seek a homeland. For truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they'd come out, they would have had opportunity to return. Now, the reality is, Jesus saved us and redeemed us. Some of us were in a lot more sin than others. Sometimes hitting bottom is farther down for others than for some. But it doesn't matter. We've all been called to be forgiven and to be separated from the sins that were part of our lives. We were sinners who did sin, and Jesus redeemed us when we got saved. But if we look back longingly, and I keep turning around and I look back and, oh man, I wish I was back there drinking. Oh, I wish I was back there doing that. Oh, you know, I really miss that. I miss, guess what? You're going to end up right back where you're looking and longing. Come on, church. You're going to end up looking and longing and going right back. Instead, it's a radical amputation from the past as you walk forward and say, I'm in a new day. I'm washed clean. I'm redeemed. And Jesus is my Savior. And I've got so much to live for. I'm on my way to heaven and I get to bring heaven on earth now. Thank God. Someone say amen. It's a new life. What do you choose? I want the new life. Radical amputation from the past. But now, verse 16, they desire a better, that is a heavenly country. Isn't that what you desire? A heavenly country. Therefore God, wow, is not ashamed to be their God, for He has prepared a city for them. It doesn't mean you can't have gifts and capabilities and good things that have happened in your life, but your heart longings are radically changed. Because you have a great Savior. All right, couple of points. Don't be surprised that you don't fit right in. Come on. Don't be surprised you don't fit right in. Sure, ever had a time when some of your closest friends, maybe you used to do things together and they invite you over to a party and you used to enjoy it and then you went and all of a sudden you don't fit in so well anymore. It doesn't feel right. Something changed. You're a stranger in this world, a pilgrim in this place. If you love Jesus first and foremost and you've surrendered your life to Him, you're a citizen of a heavenly kingdom, looking, peering, seeing, being a part of bringing something entirely different to the earth. Your goals, your beliefs, your attitudes, your loves, your passions, they're all different. And people are probably going to conclude, you're different. You don't want to swear, curse, tell the same old stories, crude jokes, backbite, gossip, get drunk and do more. If you don't want to go have the all-American weekend that they think you should be about the party life and you want to tell them about your Jesus instead and going to church, don't be surprised when you don't fit right in. But love them anyway. Because you're there as Jesus right there in their world. You're swimming upstream in a downstream world. Number two, so don't be surprised. Number two, celebrate it and stand for Jesus. Don't hate the fact that you're different. You don't have to hate that. Just be who Jesus has made you to be and keep giving Him away. Come on, keep giving Him away. When you've got people that used to be or still are your great friends you did everything with and they don't understand you, just put your arm around them and say, hey, I love you, man. The Lord loves you too. It's going to be all right. We're going to help each other and we're going to still be friends as much as we can and do everything together that we can do. But I'm different now and I invite you to come to church with me and just celebrate giving away the love of Jesus. Let me just give you one other point. It's not up here. I'm going to make the point I've made before, and it's true for all of us. Some people come out of sinful lifestyles, and they get saved, and they're able to go right back and minister to everybody in that same lifestyle, and they're fine. Some people, if they came out of drunkenness and out of the bars or out of drugs or whatever, say, I'm going to go back and minister to my friends still doing that. So I'm going over where they're doing, they're smoking weed and doing that. And you end up more stoned than everybody else in the room. If you can sit on a block of ice and melt it, you're doing fine. If it turns you cold, you better get off the block ice. You get what I'm saying? The Lord knows. And if something doesn't work for us, it's too tempting, it's not going to be right, stay away from it. Love the people and stay away from the sin. And enjoy the presence of the Lord instead. So don't be surprised, but celebrate Jesus and love people. You've got a Jesus who has forgiven you, loved you, redeemed you. He loves you and he wants to love people through you. Be free, be at peace. Come on, say it with me and give him away. Number two, a living hope. A living hope. 1 Peter 1 verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you're back to 1 Peter. 1 Peter 1 verse 3. I'm going to read in three different versions here. 1 Peter 1 verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3 now. Who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to what kind of a hope? A living hope. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Out of the Message version. You'll just stay right there. I'll read it to you. What a God we have. How fortunate we are to have him. This Father of our Master Jesus. Because Jesus was raised from the dead. We've been given a brand new life. And have everything to live for. Come on, you don't not only need to apologize. You don't have to look back. You've got the best life there is to live. Right now in Jesus Christ. Man, you mean you don't get to do those things? No, what I get to do is love him and enjoy his presence. And love fellowship. Where people don't rip you apart. And I get to stand in a family where I know I walk in and people are praying for me. And I get to know healing and power and peace and joy. And it's a great way to live. Come on to my Jesus. Out of the Passion. Listen to this. Celebrate with praises the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Who has shown us his extravagant mercy. For his fountain of mercy has given us a new life. We are reborn to experience a living, energetic hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. A living, what is it? Energetic hope. Feeling like the Energizer Bunny this morning? Come on, look up and say, I'm energized. His abundant mercy, in the Greek, that literally means abundant compassion. Just like we quoted a little while ago, his mercies are renewed, are new every single morning, the Bible says. Great is thy faithfulness, the old song declares. A living hope. In the Greek, what does that mean? A living hope. It's elpes, and it means to anticipate, usually with pleasure. It means expectation, confidence. You've got something alive in you and it's expecting, it's confident. I know what's coming. I know what my future is. I may not know what I'm going to do today or tomorrow necessarily, but I know where I'm going in Jesus Christ. Couple of points. No need, therefore, to fear. No need to fear. You look around, you see the chaos and confusion and you pray. A praying man and woman. We pray and believe God to move and do something supernatural But fear is not part of the vocabulary because God knows what he's doing. God, by his mercy, has changed you and me completely. And there's no future with dread. Now, listen, I mean that. There's no future with dread. If you don't know where you are going to spend eternity and have assurance of salvation in your heart, then there's a certain fearful dread looking to the day you might pass from this earth. But if you've surrendered personally to Jesus and he's cleaned you and cleansed you and washed you clean by his blood, when he comes to live in your heart by faith, you know you're clean and you have a confident looking forward to heaven with him. So if I live, I've got joy. If I die, I'm with him and I've got joy. What does it take? Understand you're a sinner, that you're lost without him. Understand that Jesus is the only Savior, the only one who died, was buried, and rose again from the dead. And he looks at you this morning and says, I love you. Go ahead and pray with me. Lord Jesus, right now by faith, I come to you. I repent of my sins. I turn away from being a sinner. Come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. I receive you now by faith. I receive your forgiveness, Jesus. I believe you are the Son of God. And I confess you now as my Lord and Savior. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You ever found that some of the things we love to do just leave us a little empty? I love music. I love concerts. I've told the story before. I remember I was a sophomore in college at WSU, and I was radically saved when I was 16 in a revival in the north end of Seattle at our high school. Absolutely powerful move of God. Saved, baptized in the Spirit. I had a spurt and a start about a year and a half earlier than that, and I was a worse sinner afterwards. But at this point, I really gave my life to Jesus. But I still loved music, and I don't know if any of you remember the group Rare Earth. And I went to a Rare Earth concert, and that dates me. And some of you are going, man, that's old. I don't even, never heard of them. No, don't know. I went to a concert, and I had these incredible seats. I was right up toward the front of the auditorium, and it was ear-splittingly loud. And I wanted to be a professional entertainer, and I watch all the instruments, and I listen to the harmonies. And man, they were tight. And that means they sounded every bit, if not better, than they sounded on their records. It wasn't just produced electronically. These guys were making music, and oh man, it was incredible. The whole place. We were in the old Bowler Gymnasium, B-O-H-L-E-R, the old Bowler Gym at WSU, and it was not a great concert venue. Now they've got one, but back then it was just loud, and there was smoke filling the air, and I was enjoying the music right along. Man, I was shouting, it's great stuff. Oh, man, this is tight. And right in the middle of that concert, right then, the Holy Spirit stopped me. And he said, look around. And I, you know, you ever been frozen in time? And so I'm frozen in time. It's like that slow motion thing that happens. And I look all around and everybody's standing and cheering. It's like I wasn't even there. I'm just watching it. Everybody's standing and cheering. Smoke's filling the room, and this tight group is playing. And the Holy Spirit said, they wouldn't be doing this for me. And they went, yeah, I'll do it for you. Now, what happened was at that moment, I slumped into my chair, and I must tell you, my life changed forever. Right then. And I realized, not that you can't go enjoy music, and I've gone to a bunch of concerts since, but whatever you put in front of Jesus becomes an idol in your life, and it will always leave you a little empty. Come on. It'll always leave you a little empty. You know why? Because it's not heaven someday. We're always going to be a little bit empty until we're face to face in His presence. Doesn't mean we don't enjoy life, enjoy being with each other, enjoy hanging out, going out to a good meal, going to a concert, whatever it might be. But we realize, first and foremost, I'm His. First and foremost, I'm His. And I don't need to live in fear. You're not home yet. Come on, say it. I'm not home yet. Number two, celebrate Jesus now because heaven starts now. The moment you give your life to Jesus, heaven begins for you. The Bible says in Colossians, we live in heavenly places with Christ. Live for the joy. Nothing's impossible with God, we say. I'm trading my sorrows, my weaknesses, my pains, and I pick up the joy of the Lord because I know I'm His and His. And I've received His healing power, and I've got assurance by His grace, and I don't have to chide myself for my yesterdays that were wrong, but celebrate my todays with Him and forever. Lazarus. You know, Lazarus was one of Jesus' best friends. He was identified with Jesus. Now, you gotta think along with me, don't you, that maybe when he's sick, and he's on his deathbed. Remember the word come to Jesus. Hey man, this guy's sick and dying. And he's on his deathbed. Don't you gotta think if you're Lazarus, what's up with this? I stood up for you in the midst of this world of people that hate you, Jesus. And And I'm on my last breath here. And he dies. And Jesus turns to his disciples and said, come on now, we're going to go see Mary and Martha. We're going to go where they live. And the old Thomas is kind of like us, right? The disciple Thomas. Okay, let's go and die with Jesus there. Mr. Positive, how'd you like him on your team? We're at the Coliseum, do a big meeting. He's the guy who turns to you and goes, man, it's going to be a flop, but I'm with you. But he still went with the Lord. And Mary and Martha were messed up because they know he'd be resurrected someday, but he's gone. What do you think Lazarus was doing or thinking? He's probably celebrating in the presence of God right about then. And if he had enough presence of mind, he was probably looking at God saying, so what's up with this? He's my buddy. Why didn't he come pray for me? But Jesus comes. And he does what nobody expected him to do. Jesus comes to you and to me in the midst of hopeless despair. And he can do what you don't expect him to do. I said he can do what you don't expect him to do. Because in the world, it's all over, man. It's got done deal. You got the stone rolled over the cave there. Lazarus, he's a done deal. But nothing's impossible with God. So where are you this morning? It's a done deal. My life doesn't matter. I've messed up too much, or I got a problem. Well, guess what? You got a problem? I got the problem solver. His name is Jesus. It's a struggle. It's all right. He walks through the struggle with us, and your family and God walks through it with you too. Celebrate Jesus now. Heaven starts now. And Jesus raised him up. Now, the beauty is, if Jesus hadn't raised him up with resurrection, he still would have raised him up on the last day. Because with Jesus, you have a living hope for life now and for life in eternity. We've been birthed by his mercy and grace into a living hope. Let that celebration grip your heart today. Amen. Would you stand with me, please? As you stand here this morning, I hope you know and realize he said it over and over again, how much he loves you and how much he cares. I hope you realize that you are loved by God. If you need prayer, we'll have people here to pray for you. Come grab one of us and we stand with you in prayer. We have lots of people who love to pray for folks. And we're here to be of help. If you need healing in your body, we believe Jesus heals. If you've never given your life to the Lord, we prayed together. But if you need further follow-up or something on your heart, that's what we're here to pray for. Above all, church, this week I want you to celebrate. Will you do something for us, for yourself? Celebrate the fact that you've got a living hope. Amen? Father, we thank you that you're the God who does all things well. You know us from our birth moment to where we are right now. And we pray, Lord Jesus, that as we go from this place, we will go knowing how great you are because you're the God that hears. Now, as you send your people forth, let it be with joy, with healing, with power, and with strength. Lord, this week, we live in the celebration of your living hope. Now bless each one as they've come and taken time that they might be strengthened as they go in Jesus' name. Would you raise your hands for the blessing, please? The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. Thanks, Lord. Bless each one. In the name of Jesus. And they all said,
Amen.
Amen.